ॐ नमः प्रणवार्थाय शुद्धज्ञानैकमूर्तये निर्मलाय प्रशान्ताय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः निरञ्जनं नित्यमनन्तरूपं भक्तानुकम्पातितविग्रहं वै ईशावतारं परमेशमेत्यं तं रामकृष्णं शिरसा नमामि यथाग्नेर्दाहिका शक्ति रामकृष्णे स्थिता हिया सर्वविद्यास्वरूपान्तां सारदां प्रणमाम्यहम् प्रपन्नपारिजाताय धोत्रवेत्रैकपाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुगे नमः सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्। तद्विद्धि प्रणिपादेन परिप्रश्नेन सेवया उपदेक्ष्यन्ति ते ज्ञानं ज्ञानिनस्तत्त्वदर्शिनः। भगवान् is talking about the necessity of a spiritual guide in order to gain self-knowledge. A spiritual guide is a must. And what are all the qualifications or attitude on the part of the student? He explained in this shloka, tad viddhi ಅರ್ಜುನ, ಏನ ಪ್ರಕಾರೇನ ತದ್ವಿದ್ಧಿ, ಏನ ಪ್ರಕಾರೇನ, ಬೈ ವಿಚ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಯು ವಿಲ್ ಗೈನ್ ದಟ್ ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ನಾಲೆಡ್ಜ್, ಐ ವಿಲ್ ಟೆಲ್ ಯು. ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ ಈಸ್ ಯು ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟು ಅಪ್ರೋಚ್ ಎ ಟೀಚರ್. ವೈಲ್ ಅಪ್ರೋಚಿಂಗ್ ಯು ಶುಡ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ತ್ರೀ ಕ್ವಾಲಿಫಿಕೇಶನ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ಆಟಿಟ್ಯೂಡ್ಸ್. ಒನ್ ಈಸ್ ಪ್ರಣಿಪಾತ, second one is pariprashnaha, third one is sevaya. This rule applies for any type of learning. Pranipataha means giving respect to the teacher. Pariprashnaha means asking proper question. In one particular subject when you are learning, instead of asking that particular subject question with regard to particular subject, so you ask some other irrelevant questions, not like that. Then sevaya means ready to pay the price, whatever price is prescribed by the teacher, you should be able to pay. Here what price may be there in the field of self-knowledge? No Vedanta Acharya will certainly ask you to pay money as a price. Nor he wants anything from you, either in the form of worldly powers or comforts. He simply ask you to follow certain values in your life. Simply ask you to qualify yourself for the self-knowledge. By struggling to get those qualifications, you obey the teacher. By obeying the teacher, you do service to the teacher. It is like a mother tries to feed a child. The child does all types of mischiefs not to eat. And when the child obeys as per mother's command, mother thinks that he has done, or child has done, on seva. Otherwise, extra effort is necessary. And when you are qualified with all these attitudes, when the teachers are totally convinced about your sincerity, jnanam te upatekshyanti, they will teach you atma jnanam. Upadesha is the word here mentioned. In the last class I was explaining, the context is being self-knowledge. Here the upadesha cannot be taken as mantra upadesha, nor it can be taken as dharma upadesha. And Arjuna was already initiated into Gayatri, and he had been to Gurukula in his childhood. And he studied Dharma Shastra very well. Even he argued with the Lord about the Dharma Shastra. So we cannot consider Arjuna as an ignorant person in Dharma Shastra. Dharma Shastra means a science of human values. What is right and wrong? He knew everything. therefore the upadesha here mentioned is Vedanta Shastra Upadeshaha. So Vedantic teaching has to be taught systematically, and the teaching involves active participation of the student, active listening, not casual listening. Active participation, questioning actively, and as long as their doubts are not removed, continuously you are allowed to, the student is allowed to question. And Bhagavan cannot demand mere faith on the part of the student. Even if the teacher is Bhagavan, he cannot say, Arjuna, I am Bhagavan, therefore you believe. You are Brahman, you believe. He cannot say. If he says, the student or Arjuna will tell, you don't know me, Bhagavan. You don't know my past. Who am I know, and you are telling I am God. How can it be? So it cannot be swallowed. This Brahmajnanam is not a thing to be swallowed like a medicine. To cure a person from the disease, a person need not be aware of the mechanism of a curing. So you go to a doctor, he prescribes certain medicines and ask you to swallow. That will solve that time problem only. Again, when another problem comes, you have to go to the same doctor. But to learn medicine, you have to learn 5 to 6 years. Correct? So learning medicine is different from using medicine or consuming medicine. Here the medicine is a life solution. Solution for entire life. Atmajnanam is the solution for entire life. Therefore, Bhagavan has to teach, or the Vedantic teacher has to teach patiently. The student cannot say, I believe in your words. Teacher also cannot ask, believe in my words. Student also cannot say, I believe in your words. I believe in your words means, I believe that I am Brahman. He cannot say. When a science teacher teaches E equal to MC square, the student cannot say, sir, I believe, sir. Hey, it is not a matter of belief, it is a matter of understanding. You have to go through years of, after years of scientific study to understand this simple equation called E equal to MC square. Similarly, here Vedantic equation is what? You are Brahman. You are Brahman is the Vedantic equation that should be understood. Nor Bhagavan can touch the disciple and give jnana. You can give something by touching. In the tantric shastras, a teacher touches the disciple. If the disciple is qualified disciple, he gets vision. In Sri Ramakrishna's life also, you get this type of incidents. When Swami Vivekananda approached Sri Ramakrishna, Sri Ramakrishna touched Swami Vivekananda. Swami Vivekananda got something, but that cannot be taken as self-knowledge, because the very same Vivekananda was struggling even after 5 years also for this self-knowledge. The very fact that I struggle for self-knowledge shows me what? I don't have gained that yet in my life. As long as struggle continues, that is the sign that I did not get it so far. So Bhagavan cannot touch the Arjuna and say, hey Arjuna, this is the fact that you are Brahman and fight. He cannot say. If it is possible, he could have adopted that method, because the atmosphere was very unconducive atmosphere. Atmosphere was full of turmoils. Lot of people were waiting to fight. Lot of people were angry and waiting to fight. Lot of elephants, dust and other thing. So instead of teaching 700 shlokas, Bhagavan could have applied that method if that method is available for him. He could have touched, hey Arjuna, this is the truth, swallow it. And fight, he could have done. And there is an argument, no, Arjuna is not a qualified student, therefore only he did not apply this method. Okay, another situation Bhagavan got, when his own people were fighting and killing at Prabhasa Kshetra, his disciple, another disciple, Uddhava was approaching the Lord, because Lord told Uddhava, my drama is going to over, I am going to go back to my Yathasthanam. So, you have to be here. Then Uddhava says, no, in your absence, I cannot be here. No, I cannot be separated from you. Please take me also wherever you go. Then Bhagavan says, no, 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 at least one bhakta should be there. Kali Yuga is coming, one bhakta at least should be there in the world. Even though you are going to be separated from me physically, you will not feel that you are separated from me in reality. That knowledge I am going to give it to you. Like that he says. Then Uddhava accepts that knowledge. So Bhagavan could have touched and give that knowledge. Another situation, correct? So only we say, we find in Bhagavatam, only two situations were available for him to teach this Vedanta. Poor Bhagavan, he was used for every little and petty things in the world, but he was never used for what purpose he has come. For what purpose he has come? Paritranaya sadhuram. Sadhu paritrana he has come. Sadhu paritrana is possible only Shastra paritrana. He has to give back the age-old Vedantic teaching to the humanity and ask the people to follow it and try to create an atmosphere for those who wanted to follow this teaching. Not only that, by touching you may create a particular state of mind on the part of student, like visions. And those visions doesn't guarantee freedom from samsara. I am just analyzing all the impossible thing with regard to knowledge. First thing what I told is, Bhagavan cannot demand faith on the part of student. Bhagavan cannot demand faith on the part of the student to accept his words as it is. In this knowledge, there is nothing called faith. You have to understand. As long as you don't understand, you can ask the question. It is not a medicine to be swallowed as it is. Nor Bhagavan show his supremacy that I am God. Whatever I say is a truth. Therefore, take it. That also he cannot say. Nor he can give this knowledge by a mystical way like touching and other. Then fourth one is, this knowledge is different from the vision, mystical visions. Those visions are not going to guarantee freedom from samsara. Freedom from samsara means what? Freedom from fear. In the very Bhagavad Gita come across, in the 11th chapter, Bhagavan is going to show his Vishwarupa Darshana. After seeing Vishwarupa Darshana, Arjuna should have been free from fear. But we find in the very same chapter, Arjuna says, oh Lord, what is this? I never imagined that you can be so much cruel. I never imagined that you are so much cruel. You simply crush every jiva and eat. And he says, adrishta purvam rishitoshmiti sva bhayena cha pravyatitam manome. My heart is a left up is a increased. Bhaya has come, O Lord. Who are you in reality? So far I thought you are Gopika Krishna. You are Dwaraka Krishna. You are my friend Krishna. Suddenly I see you something as a different entity. Because there in Vishwarupa Darshana, Bhagavan showed all the three aspects of creation simultaneously. One part of the Lord Vishwarupa Darshana, creation is going on. Another part is protection is going on. Third part, these two is everybody likes. Creation and protection part everybody likes. In our family also, if any child comes, we all are happy. Except the child, all fellows are happy. Because the child only cries. Then protection also, everybody is happy. Lalana. But destruction part nobody accepts. Bhagavan showed the destruction part separately. All heads are crushed. Heads of Bhishma, heads of Drona, heads of Karna, all are crushed. So he sees his own people's heads are crushed, and while crushing, some part of the body comes out, it seems. Bhagavan, like a snake, he just extends his tongue and takes back. Nelihyase grasamanas manta. After eating nice ice cream, our children, what they used to do? They will extend the tongue and they will clean the lips also. Na? Like that, you are cleaning the lips after eating all these fellows. So, bhayena pravyatitam manome. My mind is simply deluded by bhaya. So, this one statement shows that vision is not going to guarantee, deva darshana is not going to guarantee freedom from fear. Then he asked the Bhagavan, Akyahime Bhavan ko Ugra Rupaha. Who are you, Ugra Rupa? Then he requests Bhagavan, please come back to the normal form which used to be with me all the time. Out of fear he says, Namo Namaste Stu Sahasra Krutvaha. Front side Namaskara, back side Namaskara, right side Namaskara, left side Namaskara, out of fear. So this one situation shows that whatever may be the exalted vision, vision doesn't guarantee freedom from bhaya and freedom from samsara. Therefore, if you take all these into account, here Upadesha means Vedanta Shastra Mahavakya Upadesha. Jivatma Paramatma Aikya Vakya Upadesha. In the Vedanta Shastram, there are many places wherein this individual is equal to the infinite. So that Upadesha has to be given to the disciple in this context of self-knowledge. We don't deny the possibility of mystical vision. We don't deny the possibility of getting mystical vision by the touch of a Mahatmas. We don't deny all those things. Possibility is there. But what we deny is that cannot be the self-knowledge. Because what is the proof of gaining the self-knowledge? Freedom from fear, freedom from samsara. So here, Bhagavan says, who is competent to do this upadesha? Jnaninaha tattva darshinaha. Jnaninaha means shrotriyaha sampratayaha, with the one who knows the teaching and the technique of communication. Both are necessary. You should know subject and you should have the capacity to communicate. If you go to university classes, college classrooms, some are good at subject, but they don't have communicating skill. Therefore, our boys nowadays, they used to send rackets. In those days, we used to send rackets to the, rackets in the paper rackets. So nowadays, they send SMS or something. They are not interested. Sometimes they will sleep or jump and go out like that. Why? Because it is not an interesting classroom. Why? Even though he is good at subject, he is not able to communicate. Some are there, they are good at communication skill, no subject. So both should be there, that is why it is called Shrotriyaha, one who has been a disciple of some jnani, one who has this teaching with him, and one who has the skill to communicate. A jnani who was not a disciple, but who has already got the knowledge by Purva Samskara. There are so many mystical jnanis we find, like Ramana Maharshi, in Bhagavatam we find Jadabharata. They are all jnanis, but we don't find in that particular janma they had been to a teacher and learned something. Shastra says it was due to previous learning. There was some little obstacle was there. That obstacle was removed in this janma. Therefore, they are called mystical jnanis. They don't have methodology of teaching. Therefore, they cannot teach at all. If mysticism is a mode of teaching, then there is no need for Shastra. All our scriptures, Upanishads, are in the form of dialogues. Correct? All in the form of dialogues. A mystic can say that you are that, but when the student asks, how can I be that? Mystic jnani don't have any answer. So therefore, he should be a jnani or shrotriyaha. Not only is shrotriyaha, he is tattva darshi. Tattva darshi means Brahmanishtaha, who has internalized this teaching, for whom this teaching is a fact of life. He knew the meaning of those words which he is talking to the disciple. There is no gap between the teaching and himself. What is the teaching? That you are infinite is the teaching. The teacher should not have any gap between the teaching and his own life. So when a Kshatriya Brahmanishtha Guru teaches a qualified student, Atma Jnanam is a definite one. Therefore, on the part of the student, he must be a Jignasu, he must be a qualified Adhikari, he must be a Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampanna Adhikari, and he should be ready to pay the price in the form of Pranipadana, Pariprashna and Seva. If the student is fortunate, if he gets that teacher, Kshatriya Brahmanishtha, then entire spiritual journey ends there. So So this shloka being very important, I dealt very elaborately. Because nowadays in modern generation, they are not able to find the relevance of spiritual teachers. Genuine spiritual teachers themselves are now endangered species. And everybody wants to be guru, nobody wants to be a disciple, first thing. And they declare themselves as a guru, they themselves declare. You don't know what is, who is their guru, whether they have learned Shastra or not, whether their life is up to that mark or not, we don't know. But still they declare, self-declared gurus are there in modern society, one thing. Another problem is, modern society doesn't appreciate the necessity of spiritual guides. They ask, what is the necessity for a spiritual guide? Shastra says, if we have a necessity to learn how to make shoe, leather technology, teacher you need, na? We go to an institute called a Institute of Leather Technology. What you do there? You are trying to stitch some shoes or bag, that's all. Garment technology, textile technology, what you do there? Fashion technology, what you do there? Tailoring work. If tailoring science requires a teacher, a cooking science, what is that? Food technology. So all these science, small small things, a portion of lifestyle requires a guide and institution and learning process. What to talk about the most subtle subject in the human life? This is the most subtle subject, subtlest subject, because human mind is acquainted for learning everything other than himself. From childhood onwards, we know that child ask, what is this? What is this? What is this? What is this? Correct? Parents are annoyed of this question. Shut up your mouth, they say. But the child never asks, who am I? Who am I? Who am I? Can any child ask? No child. So all the indriyas and mind are turned outside antenna. This is a dish antenna. Dish antenna cannot see itself. Dish antenna can see everything. But dish antenna cannot see itself. Eyes can see everything, but eyes cannot see its own eyes. So there must be an external guide, and you should teach, and you have to qualify yourself. That's why in Vedantic tradition, even if Bhagavan comes in the human form, he goes to Gurukula. He goes to Gurukula. He goes to teacher and learns. Bhagavan Krishna went to Nandipani Ashrama and asked the teacher, oh, teacher, please teach me. The teacher knows that he is Bhagavan. The teacher knows that Santipani Rishi is the Rishi. So he knows that he is Bhagavan. What Bhagavan, what you are telling, should I teach you? You are the originator of entire Veda. Then Bhagavan smiles. Immediately teacher says, all right, you come. The very smiling has clouded his thinking. Clouded the thinking of Santipani Rishi. Santipani Rishi immediately considers himself as teacher and accepts it. Thinking afterwards, he says, you have clouded my thinking in order to make yourself as a disciple, in order to teach the humanity that even if you come here in the human form, you follow all these rules and regulations. There is no need for Bhagavan to go to Gurukula. There was no need for Rama to go to Gurukula, to go along with Vishwamitra, to study under Vashishta. There is no need. There is no need for Sri Ramakrishna go to a teacher, Totapuri. Why? They went in spite of their being knowledgeable from the very birth onwards, being conscious about their divinity from the very beginning onwards. Why they went? To teach the humanity. And in one situation, Bhagavan Krishna asked his Gurukula friend, Sudama. Sudama, I am happy because of Guror Anugrahe Naiva Puman Purnaha Prashantaye. He says, by the Guru's grace only, human being gets satisfaction, Purnatva. I got it because of my Guru's Anugraha. What about you? Are you happy? Are you satisfied? Sudama is a very, very poor man, don't have even proper cloth also. So he says, I am more happy than you. Your happiness is now and then disturbed by Jarasandha, Shishupala and others. I don't have that problem also. So when Purna Sanatana Brahman itself says, when Bhagavan itself says that Guru Anugrihe Naiva Puman Purnaha Bhavati, what to talk about ourselves? So without a Guru, human being should not live at all. It is a very, very unfortunate thing if a person doesn't have a spiritual guide in his life. He is called Anathaha, orphan. Our physical existence is going to end at one time. It has a beginning, therefore it will end. But our spiritual existence is going to continue Janma after Janma. And if a person has a physical father, he is called a son of so and so. If he doesn't know his father, if he doesn't have a father, then who is he in the society? Anathaha. Similarly, in the spiritual society, a person who doesn't have a guru is called Anathaha. Any level of guru you take, either Dharmopadesha guru or Mantropadesha guru, or if you are qualified, Shastra guru you take. But one type of guru at least must be there. At one place, our head should bow down. To one human being, at least in our life, our head should bow down without questioning the authority of that person. Otherwise, this head is there, na, which is famous for arrogance, which is famous for delusion, which is famous for whims and fancies, will take us anywhere and everywhere, and finally it will drop in a very dilapidated condition and our life will be a sorrowful affair. Therefore, Bhagavan says, Pranipadena Pariprashyena Sevaya Tad Vidhi. You have to approach them and gain this knowledge. We will continue.
Yajnatvana Punarmoham Jevam Jasyasi Pandava Yena Bhutanya Sheshena Drakshasyatmanya Thomayi.
In the next three shlokas, 35, 36, 37, Bhagavan is going to talk about the benefit of this knowledge. If you see the fourth chapter, initially he taught what is that knowledge. Then he told this knowledge is not a new knowledge. It is a age-old knowledge of the Veda and just giving back in a new language, that's all. And he taught what is that knowledge. And then he compared that knowledge with other types of spiritual practices. And finally he told, of all spiritual practices, gaining this knowledge is the topmost spiritual practice. Then after glorifying that knowledge, he told that what is the means to gain that knowledge, he told. Now he is telling what is the benefit of this knowledge. In this shloka, there are two benefits are pointed out. One benefit is freedom from conflicts, moha nashaha. Yajnatva moham na yasyati. Yajnatva punaha moham na yasyasi. Hey Pandava, hey Arjuna, by gaining which you will not get into conflicts punaha in the future also. And Bhagavan uses one more word, evam. Yajnatva punaha moham evam na yasyati. Pandava, he says, Arjuna, you won't have conflicts in life, in future also. What type of conflicts? Like these conflicts. Eva means like this. Like this means what? He is referring to Arjuna's condition in the first chapter. Arjuna surrendered to the Lord due to what? Telling what? Telling, I am confused. Nachaitad vidmah kadarano gariya. Told, I am confused whether this war is a proper war or not. I have a conflicts of interest. Should I kill my kith and kin and gain this kingdom, or should I forgive them? These are all the conflicts. And he knew Dharma Shastram very well. So he told, they are all Atatayans. All these Dhritarashtras are Atatayans. Atatayans means what? Those who are eligible to get capital punishment are called Atatayans. One who has taken somebody's wealth, somebody's wife, somebody's land, one who has put a fire to someone when they are sleeping. Like that, criminals are qualified for capital punishment. He calls Dhritarashtras, Kauravas, as criminals, but at the same time he says, Papa meva ashayed asman atvaitan atatayanaha. We will incur sin if we give capital punishment to them. See conflict? He is eligible to gain the capital punishment. And the Arjuna is a Kshatriya, a king, who is authorized to give punishment. Same Arjuna said, if I punish them, I will get sin. So that is the sign of conflict. Why this conflict happens? Even though he is educated person, dharmic person, a man of values. Arjuna was a man of values. Arjuna was a very educated person. Not only in Shastra, but Shastra also he had a lot of a clarity of thinking. In many places we come across, he talks about what is right and wrong. But in this situation, he was totally confused. Why? The reason is, any amount of external knowledge, we call it a apara vidya, cannot make a person free from conflicts. Because conflicts in life is due to attachment towards the certain places, certain situation, certain people. Attachment leads to fear of losing them. Suppose if I am attached to certain individual, with regard to him, I am not able to take any decision. A judge is there, a criminal is brought, and his crime is proved. The judge sees the face of the criminal and he breaks down. Why? The criminal happened to be his son. As long as the judge doesn't see the face of the criminal, he says this crime is eligible for capital punishment. Once he sees that face of the criminal, immediately he recognizes that the criminal is none other than my son. So he is not able to pronounce any judgment. With regard to Arjuna, Arjuna had two options. Arjuna knew that Bhishmacharya had to be killed if Duryodhana had to be killed. Arjuna knew it. Because Bhishmacharya can never go away from the Hastinapura. He can never separate himself from the kingdom because he has given a word. So, unless you conquer Bhishmacharya and Dronacharya, you cannot conquer Duryodhana. This he knew. That is the reason he was in a mission of acquiring all the divine weapons 13 years. He worked for 13 years to acquire divine weapons. He went to Himalayas, Kailash and got the Paspadastra. To kill Duryodhana, there is no need for Paspadastra. But he had to kill Bhishmacharya, Dronacharya type of people. It's not a joke. So Krishna told, unless you remove these two fellows, you cannot go near to Duryodhana. You have to remove these two people first. So Arjuna knew that if he had to gain that Rajya, he had to kill. One option. Another option, living in the forest itself, continuing the life in forest itself. If you don't want to kill Bhishmacharya and Dronacharya, you have to decide that I will live entire life in the forest. I cannot live in the absence of their life. In their absence, I cannot live comfortably, one decision. Or in their absence also, I can live. So he was not able to take decision. So he could not decide. In our life also, our inability to face the future, our inability to take decisions in life leads to conflict. And you cannot avoid decisions to do this or not, to go to foreign country or not, to marry or not, to marry this particular person, girl or boy or not. There are big confusions nowadays. Each decision is going to shape your future. If you take wrong decision, then gone, your future is gone. Wrong decision may doom your future life. That's why somebody asked a Swami, Swami, the word marriage is a word or sentence? Marriage is a word or sentence? The Swami told, why? Marriage is a word. Then he told, no Swamiji, if it is a wrong selection, it can prove as a sentence also. Lifelong sentence. You understand sentence? It's a lifelong sentence. Punishment. And to make proper decision, you should have data, but you don't have data at all. To marry this person or not, to make decision, you should know certain data about that person, but you don't have data. And everyone gives only appreciable data in their Facebook. Correct? So you don't have enough data. Now you have the capacity to get all the data necessary to make decisions. And what you do? You put, go on postpone. How many days you will postpone? Age is going more and more, 32, 33, 34. You have to take some decision. Unpredictability leads to fear and anxiety. Here Bhagavan says, Atma Jnanam gives you freedom from conflicts. How? Atma Jnanam simply removes your ignorance and removes the Deha Abhimana. Removes the idea that you are a particular individual. Once that idea is removed, there is no particular desire, there is no Raga Dvesha, therefore there is no Asakti, attachment to anything. He is available for everyone, he is not available for anyone. Both. But ordinary man is not like that. He is available for particular people, 2-3 people in the world, and he is not available for anyone. So, Atma Jnanam removes Dehabhimana, Dehabhimana removes Asakti, attachment. If there is no attachment, there is no fear also. When there is no fear of future, there is no conflicts. You are ready to face any situation in your future life. Evam moham punaha na yasyasi. You will not get this type of conflicts in the future life. What is the guarantee? What is the guarantee? Even after knowing Dharma Shastra, Arjuna had conflicts. Similarly, even after knowing Atma, he can have conflicts. What is the guarantee? The guarantee is, once the mind is enlightened with regard to yourself, what is your status in the creation, once it is enlightened, you cannot make the mind to be ignorant. Say for example, if you know the apple, can you tell to your mind, hey, please be ignorant of apple? Can you say? After knowing what is apple, can you say, oh mind, I request you, please be ignorant of apple? Can you say? With smiling, your mind will remember what is apple. Or can you say, I order you, be ignorant of apple? Can you say? Once mind is enlightened with regard to certain facts of life, it is once for all. Your ignorance is gone, once for all. Your ignorance, which is in the form of that I am karta, I am bhokta. The problem is, I want to be a particular type of bhokta. Only good things should come in my life, in my future. That's the problem. We are not able to accept discomforts, sorrows in our life. Challenges in our life, we are not able to accept, because we are very much particular about our bhoktrutva, being a bhokta. Bhokta means what? Enjoyer of only good things. So this is the one benefit. Second benefit is sarvatma bhavaha. Yena bhutani asheshena atmani drakshasi. By this knowledge, you will see entire creation without any exception in you. Asheshena bhutani drakshasi, says. Asheshena means entire creation. Which in you means what? As yourself. Atmani drakshasi. Here darshana means recognition of a fact that I am everything. Maddha parataram nanyate kinjidasti dhananjaya. Other than me, the conscious entity, there is nothing second entity at all. May eva sakalam jatam, may sarvam pratishtitam, may sarvam layam yati. Entire creation is my own. My means what? Not 5 feet 6 inches my. It is a all pervasive consciousness. Then Bhagavan says, atho mayi drakshasi. You will see the entire creation in me, the Ishvara. First statement is what? You will see the entire creation in you, Arjuna. You will see entire creation in you. Second statement, atho mayi, says. You will see entire creation in me also. So the question comes, if all beings are seen in Arjuna, if all being, how can all beings can be seen in God also, in Krishna also? So the answer is, Bhagavan indirectly wants to reveal the fact that in reality you are not different from me. From the physical standpoint only, you are different from me, Arjuna. In reality, you are Chaitanyam, I am also Chaitanya. Jivatma, Paramatma, Aikyam is told here. It is like telling, ocean says to a wave, if you know the reality of yourself, you will see entire waters in you. And ocean says, if you know the reality of the ocean, you will see entire water in me also. Because wave and ocean is nothing but name. Nothing but name for particular form. Wave is nothing but water. Ocean is nothing but water. The content of the ocean is water. Content of the wave is water. Similarly, what is the content of the jiva, the individual? Chaitanyam. What is the content of the Lord, the Creator? Chaitanyam. In reality, when you see your reality, you automatically see my reality also. That's what always Ishvara Darshanam is, always in the form of Atma Darshanam. Having Ishvara, having Darshana of Ishvara different from me is never accepted in the Shastra as final stage of spiritual life. You cannot say, I saw God. I will ask, which God? You have to give definition of God. And any definition you give to that God doesn't suit to the definition of the Vedas or Vedanta. If you see God, who saw? I saw. Who are you then? In earth, there are only two things. If Bhagavan is conscious entity, you should be inert. How can inert being can see? Understood? You should have told, I saw Bhagavan in that particular form. I saw Bhagavan. The seer, me, is real Bhagavan. Not the seen form is Bhagavan. Therefore, any vision in our culture is considered as good, nice. So many Mahatmas had a vision due to their bhakti. But that is not the criterion. That is not the last stage in spiritual life. Even Ravana had visions, correct? Ravana had vision of Shiva. Arjuna had vision of Shiva. Why Ravana? Arjuna himself had vision of Shiva. So, particular visions are not considered as a end of the spiritual journey. Understanding that there is no difference at all in reality between me and the Creator is the last word in our spiritual life. So Vedanti ke study, Vedanti ke learning earns with the fact when you say from your own heart. You should not say to your wife or husband, Aham Brahmasmi. You know, today I learned one grand thing in Ramakrishna Mission. The Swami was struggling like anything to give this understanding that I am infinite. Don't go and tell to your family members. They will think, yo, what happened? But you should tell to yourself, I am infinite. Now the question comes, okay, if I know I am infinite, in what way it is going to help me to get away my problem? My problems are there. In what way the Sarvatma Bhava is going to help me in day-to-day life? Shastra says, it will help you by freeing yourself from the fear of life. Why fear comes? Why fear comes? Have you analyzed? Why fear comes? Because of the basic ignorance that there is something other than me. That there is something other than me to hurt. Correct? I am not ready to get hurt. And if there is someone other than me, then only he can hurt. So, dvaitat vai bhayam bhavati. Upanishad says, as long as you have that dvaita bhava, there is a bhaya. Even if that dvaitam is Bhagavan, you will have fear. The second entity, even if it is Bhagavan. Arjuna had, na? Second entity was just Bhagavan in front of him in the Vishwarupa Darshana. Arjuna told, Bhagavan, bhayena cha pravyatitam manome. I have fear by seeing you. How can you have fear in seeing Bhagavan? Shastra says, yes. He is nice, little Krishna. If he is little Krishna, he is nice. But he is Rudra, he will have fear. But The fact is, he is both little Krishna and Rudra, both. You are ready to accept little Krishna, but you are not ready to accept Rudra. Rudra means one who destroys. So, yastu sarvani bhutani atmaiva bhut vijanataha tatra ko mohaha kashokaha ekatvam anupashyataha. One who has understood the reality of oneness, to him, where is the possibility of being afraid? Afraid of what? Afraid of old age, afraid of death, afraid of losing someone in our life. All this fear will go away. Once this false individuality is removed, your vision of yourself will be a grand vision. When you come to know that, you include everything in life. You include every person in life. You include entire creation in yourself. Then where is the question of reducing yourself as a petty individual? So therefore, no more fear, no more insecurity. Of course, no more wants also. Happily, you can be a giver. You can love anyone and everyone. Why we are not able to love anyone and everyone? Why? Because of selfishness. Why selfishness? Because of that idea that I am different from them. Correct? So that is the benefit. Purnatva, completeness is the benefit of the self-knowledge. Second benefit. First benefit is what? Freedom from conflicts. Second benefit is freedom from fear due to sarvatma bhava. Bhagavan continues.
Api chetasi papebhyaha sarvebhyah papakrittamaha sarvam yanaplave naiva vrijinam santarishyasi.
When Bhagavan or when Shastram or Vedantic teacher says that you are Purnaha, you are full already, you are infinite, then naturally the student sees this way, that way. To whom he is addressing? Yes, he is confirmed. I am not that. Somebody may be there behind me, like that he sees behind. So he is not able to accept it. The student says, Swamiji, you don't know my real story. You don't know my real personality. That is why you say that I am God. The status which you give to me, what is the status given by the Vedantic teacher to every individual in the world? That you are God. This status which you give it to me, this knowledge which you try to impart to me, is too much sacred for me. I am a sinner, I am not eligible. Why it is too much for you? He says, I am a born sinner, Swami. I am a born sinner, not because of my sin, because of Adam and Eve's sin. Then the Swami says, that Adam and Eve's sin is affecting you, that original sin is affecting you, that belongs to some other religion. It is not accepted in Hinduism. Okay, you say, I am born sinner, born out of my own sin. We accept, nah? If somebody says you are born out of Adam's sin, we don't accept that. But somebody says, you are born out of your own purva karma, your own papa karma. Everyone accepts. So he says, even if you don't accept this, the theory of original sin, still I can say, I am a born sinner, born out of my own sin. And afterwards what happened, you know? These are all argument of the student, from the student side. I continue to grow as a sinner. Never followed any values in my life. And in this birth, I added some more also. I could have added much more because of certain limitations. I could not do lot of much more sins. What limitations? I did not have much money. I did not have good health. I did not have a conducive atmosphere to do more and more sins. Therefore, only my sins are reduced. And you cannot hear what I did in my past. You cannot hear, Swami. You cannot hear what I did between the age of 15 and 25. Do you still say that I am God? Vedantic teacher says, or Vedanta says, yes. In spite of your sins, still you are God. You are Purnaha. What a tremendous assertion on the part of Vedanta. When entire humanity condemns every individual, when religions condemn every individual, when science condemn individual, Science says you are nothing but a flesh. There is no other personality for you. Once you are died, gone, everything is gone. You cannot be appreciated in terms of your emotions. Science never recognized humanity, human being, in terms of emotions. For science, emotions are nothing but an effect of nerve current. So when science considers you as only physically, when other religions consider you as sinner, Vedanta is the only scripture which gives humanity its dignity, full dignity. It holds the human dignity. Only Vedanta treats humanity as God. That's why Swami Vivekananda used to tell, it is a sin to call human being as a sinner. If at all there is a sin, and there can be only one sin, to put human being down. Even when he was coming across fallen people, the so-called fallen women in Cairo, when he was walking at Cairo in a bazaar, he was talking all these Vedantic ideas. That time, unknowingly, the group entered red light area. And all the fallen women were making silly gestures. He was the only male, all others are female, his disciples. So they were making silly gestures, all the fallen women. Swamiji's disciple thought very much awkward, what is this, unknowingly we have brought such a pure and innocent soul here, how awkward situation it is, like that they were thinking. Swamiji just went near to them, and very near to them, and he uttered a beautiful mantra, poor child, you have put your divinity in your body. As even these words heard by them, simply somebody cried, somebody was ashamed of their impure way of life, somebody even touched his robe, and they were simply raised to their internal. In that condition also, with them also, a jnani can see the original dignity. So Vedanta refuses to judge humanity based on external criteria, based on human weakness. It says, you are not a sinner, you are Amrutasya Putra, you are a born king. Due to ignorance, you consider yourself as a beggar and try to beg. Your beggarliness is incidental, your kinghood is intrinsic. Even while you are begging, you are Raja only. Even while you are considering yourself as individual, still you are Bhagavan, still you are conscious entity. It is like Kunti telling to Karna, Karna, even while when you are claiming that you are Radheya, son of Radha, still you are, in reality you are son of Kunti only, my son only. It is Kaunteya, you are Kaunteya only. So give up that incidental identity, recognize your own intrinsic identity. Here Bhagavan says, Apichedasi papebhyaha. Even if apiched means even if, abhipetya vada they are called, even if argument, even if you consider yourself as a sinner, sarvebhyaha papebhyaha papakrittamaha, he says, even if you consider yourself the worst sinner among the sinners of the world, papakrit means sinner, papakrit taraha means comparative degree, worst sinner, papakrit tamaha means superlative degree, worst sinner. And that too, sarvebhyaha papebhyaha papakrittamaha. Now even if you consider yourself as a Nobel Prize winner among the sinners, world champion of sinners, even if you consider, still sarvam vrijinam santarishyasi, you can cross over this ocean of sin. Sarvam santarishyasi. So it's a very grand and great assertion. Lot of explanations are there, which we'll see in the next class. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Haraye Paramatmane Pranada Klesha Nashaya Govindaya Namo Namaha.